You have your Bible, and I hope you do. We're going to be in the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I must say and take a moment to address what you saw in the video, because one of the things that we are about is connecting out with the world in need. And a couple of weeks ago, early one morning, some folks from our church who are connected to our Purpose Missions group went up to Big Creek and delivered some of those items. And to get that picture back of a lady covered by a blanket, it just reminded me of what we're about meeting the needs of others in Jesus' name. And for those of you who are in the Purpose Mission group, keep up the good work. Way to go. Way to reach out and continue to see God move and work through the different missions opportunities that you lead us so well in. And that just blessed me when I saw that on our Facebook page, that somebody would take the time to take a picture of his wife and show us, thank you for making the effort to come and to meet a need, and to see that visually was a very powerful moment. So we're going to keep that up, because we're connecting out with the world around us. So if you have your Bibles, and we're in Romans chapter 1, I hope you'll take a moment to look with me, beginning in verse 8, and then we'll pray. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Let's pray together. Father God, we humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge, Lord, that this is your church. It belongs to you. Your Son died on the cross to redeem us. Your Son purchased this church with his own shed blood. And Father, for that, we will be eternally grateful. We are sons and we are daughters of the living God through Jesus Christ, through the promise of John 1:12, that as many as received Him, to those who believed on His name, He gave them the right or the privilege to become the children of God. And that is who we are. And Father, as your children, we have a need. Father, throughout the history of our church, we have had needs, and you have shown yourself faithful to meet those needs. And Father, we know that you are bigger than any roof. You are bigger than any cancer. You are bigger and greater than any obstacle. And Father, we just pray as the body of Christ that you will be the great provider, that you will show up in a powerful way and take care of this flock. And the buildings that you have blessed us with, in which we do ministry week in and week out, Father, our need is great, but our God is greater. So, Father, would you search our hearts and find within us a generosity towards taking care of the facilities that you've blessed us with, God. We just trust you that you're going to take care of that and put that need in your hands, and pray that we will all step up together as a body. We can accomplish great and mighty things for you. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd speak through your scripture to us today. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those of you who may be visiting with us, I just want to let you know we're in the middle of a series of messages on the church. Last week we talked about how the armor of God is what protects the church. We started off this series talking about how the Word of God is the foundation of the church. We have also talked about how prayer is what powers the church, how worship is focusing the church. And so today we want to talk for a few minutes from Romans chapter 1 about how spiritual gifts serve the church. And let me begin with this statement. It should be up on the screen behind you if you want to write it down word for word. God gives spiritual gifts to the body of Christ to serve the work of the gospel ministry. That's as simple, I think, a way to put it as we possibly can. Let me say that to you and repeat that again. God gives spiritual gifts to the body of Christ to serve the work of the gospel ministry. Now we know this because we know what the Scripture teaches. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As each one, that means all of us, have received a gift from God, use it. Use it to serve one another, because this is what we're doing when we serve with the gift. We are stewarding God's great grace. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit is God's gift to us. And what are we to do with the Spirit's gift and help and strength? We are to use it for the good of the body, the common good, the corporate good of the church. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. That we have different gifts according to the grace, same grace that was given to us, we need to use them. We need to utilize them. We don't need to sit them on a shelf and let them get dusty and rusty. We need to use them. So if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. God gives gifts. And those spiritual gifts are designed to strengthen and build up the church. So I don't have time this morning to do a spiritual gifts seminar. I'm sure many of you have taken the online testing that's out there to kind of discover what your spiritual gift is. I'll say a little bit about that later in the message. But today is to see how the gifts function in the church. What is their purpose? Now back to the statement I said at the beginning. God gives spiritual gifts to the body of Christ to serve the work of the gospel ministry. In that statement, it says that God gives. God is the one who gives the gifts, which means that they are graces given to us from God. We did not earn our gifts. We certainly didn't sign up and request our gifts. These gifts were given to us by God. They have a divine origin. God is their creator and God is their sustainer. And they are given by God through the Holy Spirit, meaning that we can't earn them, we can't unlock them, we can't change them, but we receive them as gifts from God. They come from God. Why? Because God knows exactly what His church needs. So if the purpose of the church, of the spiritual gifts, is to serve the church, then God is sending us exactly what we need in the gifting and equipping of the body. God knows sovereignly what the body needs at each exact moment of its life. When God's spiritual gifts are being utilized, the church will be strengthened, the church will be sustained, and the church will be growing. God gives spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Not natural talents, not natural abilities, but spiritual gifts, spiritual graces. Spiritual gifts are, by their very nature, supernatural. They come from God. They require God's power and God's enablement given through the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Spirit of God is the means through which God gives the gift and utilizes the gift. It is not in us, but it is the Spirit who through us gives us these gifts for the betterment of the body. God gives spiritual gifts to the body. Spiritual gifts are to be used to strengthen the body of Christ. They are individual gifts used to build the church up corporately. They are always used in the context of community, never in the context of isolation. Now think about that. I have, by God's grace, been given a teaching, preaching, exhortation gift, but I never exercised that by myself. I don't wake up and look in the mirror and say, I'm going to preach to myself today. But I'll preach to the people that God has called me to shepherd. I'll preach to the people that God has called me to give oversight to. I want to use my gift in the context of the community that He's called me to serve. And so I'm thinking of my gift not in terms of selfishness, but in terms of community. And as we think about the spiritual gifts, they only make sense when we think about them in the context of how they bless and benefit others. Not to bring us any honor, glory, or attention, but to bring all the glory and honor and attention to Jesus, the one who has redeemed us and the one who has given us His Spirit. They're always used in the context of community. God builds, nourishes, and sustains the church through individual members using their gifts for the good of the body. So here's the question that I have for you this morning, and it's a very simple question. Is your spiritual gift missing in action? Are you hindering the forward progress of the church because you've decided to put your spiritual gift on a shelf and not use it? If you say to yourselves today that this church is going to be sustained and grown by Greg's gift and by Brad's gift and by Jamie's gift, we will never be the church that God wants us to be. We can't do it alone. In fact, when you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and it talks about pastors and teachers in your midst, it says their purpose is to equip you to use your gift. That's how the body of Christ is built. Not through a few, but through the many. Not through one or two individuals, but the whole corporate body. Is my spiritual gift missing in action? Am I contributing my spiritual gift to the body? Could my lack of engagement with my spiritual gift be holding back what God really wants to do at Madison Avenue? And I'm telling you that this is serious when it comes to the church, because so many people view the church as something that they're going to get something out of. Consumer, consumer, consumer. And all you're doing is looking at the church as what the church can give you instead of looking at the church as what you can contribute. It's not consumerism. It's being a contributor. Using your spiritual gift in order that you might build up the body of Christ. Not what can I get out of this church, but what can I put into this church? How can I give? How can I serve? So listen to this statement. It can be up on the screen. The church will not flourish until the spiritual gifts of the members of the body of Christ are engaged in gospel ministry. Now I'm going to say something here, and I want you to embrace yourself. If all you have is worship and preaching, you don't have the New Testament church. I'm going to say that again as one who does the preaching and Jamie who does our worship leadership. If all you have is preaching and worship, you do not have the New Testament church. So if your life as a believer right now is limited to preaching and worship, you are missing out on the heart of the Christian life. The heart of the Christian life is serving. The heart of the Christian life is giving yourself away through speaking and through serving these gifts that God has graced us with. There are so many opportunities for us as a church with the gifting that is in this church already. If we would use that, not disengage, not bail out, not take early retirement, but use those gifts that you know you have for the glory of God. Look, if you will, at Romans. This passage I've really never focused on before until I started studying it pretty hard this week. Because usually you run by these opening comments because you're in a hurry to get to the meat of the passage. But Paul says something so significant here that I want you to stop and I want you to think about it. Really, his heart's desire is to go to Rome and to preach. He says that you have been on my heart, you have been on my mind, and you have filled my prayers. I am longing to be with you. But then in verse 11, he gives us the reason. And the reason is so significant because Paul understands the power of utilizing the spiritual gifts that he has in the church. So here's what he says. Verse 11 of Romans 1. For I long to see you. That means a face-to-face, personal encounter. Eye to eye. What he's calling for there is community. That's how we do community, not from a distance, right? Not behind an iPhone or not behind an email, but we talk face-to-face. We engage heart-to-heart. Paul says, I want to be there with you in your community. I want to engage in that community. I want to connect face to face. And here's why. That I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is just pregnant with meaning. The word impart means to give away. The word impart means to share with you. I want to give you. I want to share with you. My heart is overflowing with God and God's Spirit and God's Word. And I want that to pour out over onto you. Now notice what he says is really important. He says, I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. And there's a lot of commentators that are bothered by the ambiguity there. What do you mean, some spiritual gift? What are you talking about, Paul? And here's the reality. He's never been to the church, has he? He doesn't know the exact situations that they're facing. Maybe they need someone to come with the gift of discernment because of what they're dealing with. Maybe they need someone to come with a gift of exhortation to teach and to preach to them. Maybe they need someone to come who has the gift of mercies to help with compassion in these situations. Paul doesn't know. More than likely, based on Romans 16:25, Paul wants to use his preaching gift. This is why I say that. Listen to the verse. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, that sounds familiar, according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that his gift of exhortation would build them up in their faith, that it would be used to strengthen the body. So I want to come to you so that I can share with you or give to you my spiritual gift for the purpose of strengthening you. Now, what does that word mean? Strengthen means to build up. It means to undergird. It means to support. It means to buttress. It means to firmly establish. It means that if there's something sagging, if there's something that's lagging, you support it. You tighten it up. You come underneath it and you give it strength. Now listen, that's what spiritual gifts do. And when you don't use your spiritual gift, guess what? You're missing the blessing of strengthening those around you. Think about that person who has this spiritual gift of encouragement. You know why? Because every time you talk to them, what happens? You leave encouraged. You're like, man, I'm having a bad week. I need to go have lunch with so-and-so because every time I meet with so-and-so, I leave so encouraged. Now just imagine that so-and-so says, you know what? I'm too busy. I'm too busy to use my gift of encouragement in the church. I'm too busy to get involved. I've got other priorities. I really don't want to give my gift away at Madison Avenue. What happens? The body atrophies just a little bit when that one person who is placed sovereignly into the body of Christ. All you have to do is read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and you'll get that. God has placed each member in the body. Right? You're not here by mistake, folks. You're here intentionally. God planting you because He knows that there are needs in this body where your spiritual gift can show the grace of God and strengthen people in their faith. That's your purpose. Not to consume, but to contribute. Not to just take, but to give. Consuming and taking is a misunderstanding of the gospel. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came in order what? To give His life. To serve. And do you think your life as a Christian should be any different? And so He says, to strengthen, to build up, to undergird, to support, to buttress, to firmly establish. And why is He doing this? Because it's in the Spirit. Let me just ask you a question. What happens when instead of being in the Spirit, you're in the flesh? What's the opposite of strengthening? It's tearing down. And isn't that our old sin nature? Our own sin nature that sometimes shows up at the most inopportune times when we say things that we shouldn't say, that we don't mean. We're tearing down. We're tearing apart. We're criticizing. We're complaining. We're devouring each other. Why? Because we're in the flesh. But Paul says there's a better way. And the better way is to let the Spirit shine through you to strengthen others by using your spiritual gift. Think about it this way. What if the strength of, I'll just say, Brad and Jamie on our staff. What if the strength of Brad and Jamie was determined by me using my spiritual gift, pouring into them? And all of a sudden say, you know what, guys? No more staff meetings. I don't want to be around you ever again. I'll see you on Sunday. Guys, have a good ministry. I'm out. You know how that would weaken the church? And see, we're doing that. We're doing that when we absent ourselves from the ministry, when we absence ourselves from serving, when we say, Lord, I don't want to use that gift anymore. Oh, years ago, yes, years ago, but now, what are you on vacation from your spiritual gift? Is that in the Bible? Anybody see retirement from your spiritual gift in the Bible? Somebody say so. Boy, I just moved the pulpit. I'm so fired up. You don't. It's not there. You can't find it. You're not taking a hiatus or a sabbatical from that spiritual gift. You get to come in here in the context of community and week in and week out release that gift and bless somebody. And listen, the joy is yours for being obedient. You've had that situation where you maybe go to the hospital to see somebody to try to encourage them, and you're the one when you leave who's encouraged. Now, why is that? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 12. That is, and what he's doing here is he's clarifying what he's saying. He said, it's not just about me imparting to you, but there's more to this. That is, by way of clarification, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now think about that. Think about the logic of that. You've got the same faith, right? Our faith is in common because our faith is in the gospel in Jesus Christ. But you've got varied gifts. You've got a variety of gifts. So you have a common faith plus a variety of gifts that when we use them results in mutual edification. That's the passage. Common faith plus a variety of spiritual gifts equals mutual encouragement, mutual edification. Now let's just talk for a minute about this spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively through word or deed. I think a good way to divide the spiritual gifts up is that there are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. That's a good way to kind of put it in perspective. So a spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively through word or deed for the strengthening of someone else's faith in the body of Christ. So here's a great way to test a spiritual gift. Is anyone encouraged by it? Is anyone strengthened by it? Like if all you do is make people miserable, you probably don't have a spiritual gift there. We've got to find something else. Right? But if people say to you, you know, I went on this mission trip with you and it just seemed like every conversation we had, you just had this gift to just encourage and to focus. And boy, I just appreciate so much your heart. And every time I'm around you, it just seems like there's something happening there. It could be that God is using that person's spiritual gift to encourage you. And the more you're encouraged, the more they're encouraged. You see how that works? And do you see how that dynamic has to be at play in the church? Because if it's not, you are missing the whole point of the gifts. The gifts are critical to the church's ministry and mission. You know, this is the oil in the engine. This is what keeps everything lubricated, everything moving. It's these spiritual gifts. And so he says, very powerfully here, that a spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively through word or deed for the strengthening of someone else's faith. Why is that important? Because simply having a talent is not a spiritual gift. I love America's Got Talent. I watch that show a lot. But listen, the guy who comes in and he's juggling all kinds of stuff isn't strengthening my faith. He's entertaining, but he's not strengthening my faith. And even though those talents may come from God and they may not acknowledge that they come from God, the issue is the use of them. We don't have spiritual gifts to entertain each other. We have spiritual gifts to minister to each other, to strengthen faith. And so what I want to say to you very plainly and very clearly is that one of the ways we discover our spiritual gifts is not going online and answering 150 questions. It's by getting involved in the ministry of the church. And as you get involved and as you serve and as you volunteer and you begin to make an impact on people and people begin to say, wow, you are really strengthening my faith. You are really encouraging me in my walk with God. Then this mutual edification and encouragement takes place. Now I want you to hear what I'm about to say really closely, because it helps those of us who in our ministry serve, 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 and serve. There is a time, by the way, for your shepherd, for your pastor to be served. There is a time in your ministry and use of your spiritual gift to be served, to receive the spiritual gifts of others into your life. Now listen, that's the word mutual. It's right there in verse 12, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So to serve with your spiritual gift and to be served by the spiritual gifts of others is the key to a healthy, vibrant church. Let me just say it this way. This might really mess with you, but that's okay. If next Sunday I sit on the front pew, second pew, fourth pew, where my wife is, and Brad preaches, and I'm here, what are you going to do to each other? Bo's going to look over at Shirley and go, how come the pastor's not preaching today? Boy, he's here. Why ain't he? He's got to preach every message, every Sunday, every day of the week. That's all he's supposed to do. You know what? One of the healthiest things that I could do as a pastor is to let Brad come up, share his gift in the pulpit, and receive from him what God's put on his heart. Listen, I'm telling you right now, it's not about me. It's not about any gift. It is all about this church being the church that God wants. And I'm telling you, as your shepherd and your pastor today, I can't do it without you. You've got to step up and be the people of God and let your gifts shine through with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. To let this world know that we're different. To let this world know that something's going on in here week in and week out that you can only explain by the grace and the love of Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about. Look at your neighbor and say, that's what he's talking about. That was pathetic. I'm not going to do that again. Number one, got four quick ones. Four quick ones. Everyone receives a gift. Everyone receives a gift. It's not for a select few, but it's for all. And friend, if you're sitting out there and you say, you know, I don't really know what that would be, what that would look like, reach out to us. We're here to help. We're here to walk you through and help you. But everybody has a gift. But I'm convinced in our church, not everybody's using their gift. We need the body to be not atrophied, but we need the body to be healthy. To every gift, his for building up the body of Christ and not yourself. Every gift is for building up the body of Christ and not yourself. Yes, there are gifts that seem to be more public, and there are many gifts that are the behind the scenes that you never see or recognize. And we need both, because it's about the body and not about us. Number three, we glorify God when we use our gifts to build up the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says this, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Why would he say that? Because in the display of our spiritual gifts, we see Christ. Christ is manifested when we show mercy. Christ is manifested when we show hospitality. Christ is visibly seen when we show compassion. Christ. And number four, the joy of mutual encouragement is the motivation. The motivation for using our gifts. Do y'all like potlucks? It's getting lunchtime. Do y'all like potlucks? Because if you don't, I'll just say amen and we'll pray. What is the beauty of a potluck? Everybody brings their best dish. You know what? You know what I love about a potluck? Is that you start to get a reputation for what you bring. I'll tell you one thing. I hope Buddy Lambert, I hope he brought the banana pudding. I'm telling you what, that's his banana pudding. You preacher, you better get over there and get that banana pudding. It's going to go quick. Right? And oh, Mrs. So-and-so, the devil's eggs. Oh my goodness, the devil's eggs are so good when she makes them. Right? And why did she make them? She made them to share. And there we go, and we get around just this big table. I know we've got little tables. If we could pull it off, we'd have one big banquet table. But the idea there is that we're all sitting down together as family, and we're sharing what each other brought. Now, nobody runs off with the brownies in the bathroom and eats them by themselves. If you do, shame on you. Maybe you've been tempted to do that. But no, one of the reasons why we cut things up into pieces is so that we make sure others are able to get some of what we've brought. Friends, that is the beauty of the spiritual gifts. When we come to the church and we get into our community and we leave the church and go out into our community, we bring our very best that God has blessed us with. And we share that. Share that inside our church and share that outside the walls of our church with a lost and dying world. We mutually enjoy what each other brought to share, and we are delightful, aren't we, at the potluck dinner? Very few people complaining at the potluck dinner because you're getting something that you don't normally get. And I'm telling you, when you use your gifts and you begin to get the satisfaction of serving and giving and receiving the gifts of others, it changes you. It changes you. Father, we thank you for this word today. God, we can't be the church you want us to be unless we're serving with our spiritual gifts. And Father, I thank you for the servants who are using their spiritual gifts. Father, there are people here every week who are giving of their spiritual gift. But Lord, I also know that 80% rule that we hear about all the time, that 20% of the people in the church do all the work and 80% just sit back and consume, and they're just along for the ride. So, Father, I pray that you would begin to chip away at the hardness of our hearts, because that's the issue. God, if our hearts are in the right place, we'll serve. We'll use the gift that you've given us, because we'll be in so much gratitude. We'll be full with so much gratitude for what you've given us that we wouldn't dare not use it for your glory. We wouldn't dare waste it. So, Father, I pray you would help us not to waste these gifts. They are for the church. They are for your glory. They display the beauty of Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that if the conviction of the Holy Spirit is simply this, that I haven't been using my gift, then the simple step of obedience this morning is to say to the Lord, Lord, show me how once again you want me to serve, how once again you want me to use my spiritual gift. And Father, we can leave it in the hands of your Spirit. And if there are those here who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, they don't have a spiritual gift because they've never been saved, they've never been born again, then Father, I pray that this very day they could repent of their sinfulness. They could claim the wonderful blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all our sins. And they could believe in the substitutionary atonement, meaning simply this, that God gave his Son on the cross for you. He took your place and died and rose again that you might have eternal life. So, Father, would you speak into the hearts of this body? Father, there may be some here today who have been visiting us, and this is the message that you are using in their hearts even now to draw them to say, hey, I need to be all in. I need to be using my spiritual gift and serving in the church. And you might use this very message by your Spirit to convict them that it's time to call Madison Avenue home. So, Father, whatever your will, we simply want to do it and we simply want to obey it. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.